B-Pod Studios.
Brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. Our friend Dan Schwartz felt it necessary to create artwork of me as Frank Sinatra drinking, I guess, my version of a martini, which is just a Jack Daniels. Huh. And if you're aware of the album cover for Come Fly With Me, Bob.
Yes, I am very aware.
Yeah, it's an awesome album cover. He has me, my face on Frank Sinatra's, and it's scary. It's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, you're more Nicolas Cage type.
I'm telling you, my brother's more than Nick Cage.
Yeah, you filled it pretty well.
I have a fatter head, basically. I have a fatter face. On the line with
your
us right now.
Your daughter took over. Your daughter, she's right there. Not fat, I won't say.
No, she got big fat far. Is that a face? What she got?
She's got chipmunk cheeks. She is so damn cute.
Hey, so did her old man, man. I had those as well. Well, have those. What am I kidding? On the line with us right now, our good friend, Mr. Jason Martinez, joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Jason, how are you, bud?
What's going on, boys?
That was, I thought, the perfect Flyers victory. Wasn't a game where they ran away with it, but it was a game Carter Hart dominated, a reality check at times, but when the Flyers needed to slam the door, that's exactly what they did in the third period. What were your immediate reactions from last night's game?
Get me an empty net goal or an insurance goal. I don't need to live like this in game one.
So you and I were pretty close here in our assessment. Carter, I understand that the round robin counts as the postseason, but this is his first playoff series against his idol. Lots been made of that. Carter Hart himself, I mean, was nothing short of spectacular. You're a former netminder yourself. What do you make of it?
I just think he was really under control again. And the other part is he was really calm, you know, not overwhelmed by his, you're right, this is his first real playoff game, and he was really calm again and didn't overplay situations. And, you know, he had to make some really tough saves because the Canadians had basically the same strategy the Flyers did on Carey Price, and that was to really crowd his crease area and disrupt him and try and, you know, limit his ability to track pucks and read plays. And it didn't matter. He was just so dialed in, so focused that he's right on the play every time. And, you know, it's just so impressive to go to the bubble and do what he's done. And I'm just kind of blown away by it. And I don't want to keep saying for a 21-year-old, well, he's 22 today, but because I think that does him a disservice. To me, he's done is really impressive just for a National Hockey League goalie. And he's really dialed in right now. He's the reason they won the game because he kept them in the game when he made 16 saves in the second period. I don't know if he can sustain that level. The Flyers are going to have to help him out and be better and play a full 60. But they got the win in game one. And, you know, Carey Price threw a game at you last night where, you know, it was a game that he normally steals when he plays that well.
True.
But the Flyers won. So that's a great thing.
Speaking with our own Jason Martinez. Okay, so Carter Hart, as we know, is the number one star, the stud for the Flyers last night. Who is their second best player on the ice?
That's a good question. There were some guys that had really uneven games last night. I thought the pairing of Myers and Sanheim were tremendous. Thank God, because I didn't think the top defensive pairing was particularly good last night in Provorov and Niskanen. So I thought that pairing was very good, but Joel Farabee, you got to give it to. I mean, this guy's a rookie. He makes a great play, redirects that puck down, puts it into the pads of Price, then, you know, puts the puck in 16 seconds after they tie the game. So if I'm looking for a guy, I'm probably looking at Joel Farabee. Two young guys last night really are the reason why they won.
Jay, I know it's only one game, but coming out of it, do you have a better feeling if you're the Flyers that you got the win? Or are the Canadians feeling better that, okay, we didn't play all that well and we still only lost 2-1? Who comes out? I know the game was won by the Flyers, but who comes out feeling maybe a little bit better about themselves?
I think they both do, Bob. I think, number one, that the Canadians feel really good because they go, okay, we showed them we can skate with them. But they came out empty, and they got a great goaltending performance from Price. I mean, he makes a save last night. You guys saw it on Lawton. Still just, you're kidding, right?
He saved not only the puck, he saved a life.
Yeah,
he saved Suzuki's life. That would have hit him in the head.
Yeah, I mean, because Lawton wound up like he was going to vomit. I'm not sure why he did that. But, I mean, you got this great performance out of Carey, and you have nothing to show for it. So that can be a little bit, you know, disheartening for a team too. For the Flyers, I think they come out of this and they go, man, that's a team that really can skate. We can see why they beat the Penguins now. And if we don't play a full 60 minutes against that team, then they can jump us. So I think it maybe was a wake up call to the Flyers. And the Canadiens are a team that just goes out and plays really kind of free and skates their ass off. So I think that was one of those things where the Flyers can go, okay, they can learn from it. And you know, they didn't play their best game and they still got a win. That's huge. But they gotta tighten things up going forward, because if they don't, the Canadiens will, they're going to play them hard. There's no doubt about that. You saw it against Pittsburgh and they did it last night. So, they got to clean things up for sure, especially that second period. It was just, I mean, that was bad. It was really bad. And there was a couple players that I didn't like their games last night. I didn't like JVR's game. I think there's a chance he could be scratched. I think Gostisbehere goes back into the press box. Cause I didn't like his game. There was a lot I didn't like last night.
JVR looked slow for even JVR last night. That's what jumped out to me. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't think he needed to shower after the game, I'll tell you that. I didn't think there was a lot of effort there. I didn't think there was a lot of ass into his performance, you know what I mean? Like, I think he made a couple plays where he drove the net, but there was too many plays where I saw him turning away. And he's on the fourth line, and it's tough to get into a rhythm. I get it. He played 11 minutes in the game. But, you know, Jake Voracek, too, I thought had a really bad night. Really. And he ended up getting credit for the goal. They changed it from Provorov to him on the power play to open the scoring. But I thought he looked disinterested at times as well. And those guys, look, this is now the playoffs you're playing for your life. And you have to get your intensity level up. And you guys heard Bush talk about it. Even between the benches, the intensity level of the round robin games was not the intensity level of the best of fives. You have to get there now. Mm. Because now you're in this situation where you are playing for your playoff lives.
Right. Jason, speaking with our own Jason Martinez, do you expect more of the games in this series to be like game one, or do you think the Flyers will eventually take control here?
I think they will eventually take control, because I think the four lines that they can put out there and the depth will wear down Montreal. But I do think a lot of these games are going to be tight, because Montreal is going to play it that way. The Flyers, you know, you just can't run away with games if Price is on his game. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on Carter Hart, you know, to kind of match what's going on at the other end of the ice. You know, you say, well, people are making so much of this Price versus Hart thing, and he plays against the Canadiens. He doesn't play against Hart. That's total BS. Every goalie is looking at the other end, especially when he's your idol and you're trying to match him. People, they want to say, well, he doesn't have to worry about Carey Price. That's total baloney. Because every time there's a stoppage of play, he's looking at the other end and he's going, that's Carey freaking Price. You know what I mean? And even if it wasn't Carey Price, you're always trying to out-duel the other goalie. I don't care if that's in Pee Wee, the NHL, or Beer League. It's just human nature.
Jay, before this series started, and I was one of them, people were saying, you know, it's nice that you don't have to ride the shoulders of Giroux, of Voracek, of, you know, some of the older guys, because it hasn't worked in years past, and these young kids coming up and carrying, you know, the game is something good and refreshing. It is all that, but has it gotten to the point where you're like, okay, need a little bit more out of Giroux, need a little bit more out of Voracek? Are you there yet, or is everything okay on that avenue?
You know, it's weird. Like, I am there. It hasn't caused them to lose a game, so it's not like, you know, in war games, you know, Sack, take me down to DEFCON 2. You know, something like that. because it hasn't cost them a game yet. But, like I said before, I didn't like Voracek's game last night. I really didn't. I didn't think he skated well. Couturier, I don't know if he's banged up or something. I saw Drew taking more D-zone draws with Couturier not taking them. I don't know if there's an issue there. We don't find anything out about injuries normally, let alone in this situation.
Right.
But Drew, I think his game is like just about there. The older guys, Bob, it takes a little bit more time, I think, for them, for the head to come into full concert with the hands, the feet, the speed and the thinking, all of it has to click together like some sort of puzzle. And I think Giroux's just on it. He wired that one off the post last night.
Yeah.
I thought he had some distribution that was good, some passes. And I thought he was really good defensively. And Giroux and Couturier have been good defensively. But you need to cash in at the other end. They get paid not just for power play production. They get paid for 5-on-5 to dominate. That's what they did in the regular season, in particular in the second half. They need to get back to doing that. Those guys are getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
If they're going to go on a run, they got to get that part of the game done.
Jason,
they tilt the ice.
Jason, I not that I've ever thought Ivan Provorov was bad by any means, but last night was one of the first times I really looked at him, especially when he was behind the net and he would take his time in that third period and make sure something's set up and he would kill any momentum that the Habs were trying to start up. I looked at Ivan Provorov last night and I saw shades of Chris Pronger. Is that a hockey hot take or is that about accurate for how well he played?
Yeah, it's actually pretty accurate. Not that they look the same, but you know
right,
what I mean?
Kind of
more Drew Doughty the way they look right now.
Yes.
That's amazing, too, because I didn't think he had a good second period. He turned pucks over a few times, and Montreal really was in on the forecheck, and he did not have a great period, but then he settled down in the third. You're absolutely correct. That's calming when you decide, okay, I'm not just going to throw the puck up the wall. I got to make sure, slow things down. They only gave up 6 shots in the third period and then 2 high danger scoring chances. And that was big for the team. A lot of people looked at the game last night and go, yeah, they dominated the first period and they weren't good the rest of the way. That's baloney. They were really good in the third period to put a game away. And that's what good teams do. They just didn't get the insurance goal to make it feel like they were better in the third period.
Jay, to me, you always have a guy on one team. Let's take the goalies out of it. But you always have a guy on a team in a playoff series that's just a pain in the ass throughout the whole series. Who do you think it's going to be, Montreal to the Flyers and vice versa, Flyers to Montreal?
Now, do you mean pain in the ass because he just...
Like, you know, they make the plays. They make this. They make this happen. And it's just like, oh, there he is again.
There's 2 guys. I mean, Shea Weber, and he got their goal last night. He's playing at such an elite level. I'm stunned. I thought this guy would be cooked by now. And with the injuries that he's dealt with, he's been phenomenal for them in the playoffs. And he's got that bomb. I mean, he can shoot 109 miles an hour. And he got the goal last night. But the guy that I really keep an eye on for Montreal is Brendan Gallagher. He's a guy that'll shoot the puck a ton. He's a goal scorer. He's a pesky player. He's a smaller guy. But he's got a motor, and he's a guy you got to watch out for. I think he's their best goal scorer, and he's the guy that you really got to pay attention to because if he gets hot, he can score in bunches.
All right, Jason, 2 quick things. Flyers in how many games in this series, you think?
Just because they won game 2-1 doesn't change my opinion. I think it's still an overwhelming series for the Flyers. They went in 5.
5. All right, I'm with you as well. All right, and then finally here, and you're a perfect person to have on right now, Jason, because you have met my brother. Who looks more like Nicolas Cage, my brother or me?
Your brother does.
Yeah, see that? There we go. It's settled. Thank you, Jason. Always good talking to you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, boys.
Thanks,
Jason,
Jay.
Jason Rattie is joining us right there. Yeah. Narrower face. That's what
Jason
it comes
and your brother have a relationship?
I mean, they know each other? They've met. They actually, I don't want to go so far as to say they worked together.
Oh, okay.
But they've got experience in the studio together. So put it that
gotcha.
Way.
Gotcha.
So that's how that works.
All right.
You just gave me like, you're looking
up. No, I was just wondering. No, I didn't. I don't even know why I asked that, to tell you the truth.
Thank you. Let's get to Mike and KOP. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, is it true your freaky cousin co-wrote WAP?
All right. If you didn't see this yesterday, Anna Horford was at it again. And I am wildly entertained by this woman on Twitter. Did you just say that in front of your kid?
I don't know what WAP means. 16 months old.
I believe it's WAP. It's not WAP is something different. Thank you.
WAP, however you want to pronounce it. Your freaky cousin co-wrote it.
She needs, as you know, did you see my tweet about it? Or
Of course I did.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we're having independent thoughts here. That we were not having independent thoughts. We're the same thing. But yes, Anna Horford tweeted out that if you listen to that song while you're doing the hibbity dibbity, it will turn you into a bit of a freak. And I tweeted out Norm MacDonald saying, note to self, basically, from Anna Horford. And then, yes, people, of course, started talking about my freaky cousin.
Did she make good money off that? Like, that seems like
there's no money involved. This is her husband, you jerk.
Anyway, I just wanted to say
I'm definitely running out and buying a bottle of Moet to pop when Brett Brown gets bounced out of the first round, so we can end this Brett Brown legacy and probably move on to a better coaching staff.
Well, I'm not gonna pop open a bottle of champagne when my favorite basketball team gets eliminated for the playoffs, but I understand your point. And I think a lot of people will be there as well, because before they want to move on from Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, I think most rationally thinking people want to see how they'll perform under a new head coach.
It's going to taste extra smooth, you know, the second here Brett Brown's been eliminated. I'm gonna be looking forward to that.
Good for you, Michael. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one. See that?
He just seems like the perfect person to bask in the glory of someone losing their job.
Yeah, it's you've talked to Mike and KOP before, right? Like, that's not just...
No, that doesn't surprise me a little bit.
By the way, somebody is telling me that a martini and a Manhattan are pretty similar.
They're similar, yeah. One's dry vermouth, one's sweet vermouth, and then Manhattans use bourbon.
Okay.
So, you know, they're similar-ish.
All right. My dad's a Manhattan man.
My dad's a Manhattan guy.
Yeah, my grandfather was. I never saw Manhattans all that much.
Nope, that's my dad's go-to.
Yeah. But your dad doesn't drink all that much, right?
No, not really.
Yeah. You can do a lot of Manhattan will be done on the rocks sometimes, whereas like a martini will rarely be done on the rocks.
And a cherry goes in a Manhattan usually, right?
You're
or no?
Correct, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't. I've made a couple of drinks. I've been a guest bartender once.
You could
do
a Jack Daniel's Manhattan. Okay. You'd like it.
Is that just like Jack Daniel's on the rocks? Is that
basically what that is? With some vermouth in it and a cherry.
Okay. I could do that. I did not know the difference between a vodka tonic and a vodka soda. Is that a different thing? What's the different thing there? Gin and tonic. I didn't know how to make that. It's literally the title of
I think
of
it's
this.
Kind of self-explanatory, the difference, right?
You'd think. But what I did was I grabbed the beverage gun behind the bar. And I pushed the wrong button. And I actually made it for our friend Ruben Frank. And he was like, you really messed this up.
Really?
Yeah, it was Sealski had an event in Doylestown. And he asked me to be a part of it. I was a part of it. And I was making drinks for people. And by the end of the night, it was just like, what kind of beer do you want? Okay.
Yeah, beer or wine, I can pour them all day long. I am not a bartender at all. Like, I'll have the stuff. And I tell my friends whenever we have people over, unless they bring their own flask, I tell them to have at it. Whatever you guys want, you make. Because... when my parents would have people over and my dad would ask people what they wanted, he would make them, and the reaction was always the same when they took the first sip. Whoa! Apparently my dad had a pretty heavy hand.
Yeah, it happens.
I don't, yeah.
I don't try. You want your drink? Go ahead, have at it.
The bar is over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Treat yourself. Uh-huh. Let's talk to our friend, Real Prince. What's up, Real Prince? How you doing, bud?
Hey, we got hockey, yo.
We got hockey, brother. How you feeling?
Man, I feel good, man. I felt good after Provolone did his thing.
Oh, there you go.
Corey Hart was pretty good, too. I love it, man. It's excellent. I love how they was winning since the tip-off. It was great. I love it.
Alan Vigneault is just a great coach, man.
Man, I thought it was Vin Vault for some reason. I thought it was Vin Vault. Like Vin Diesel, Vin Vault.
That's it. They're related. I see no evidence that they're not, so there you go.
Nah, but seriously, I watched my first hockey game in a long time, and I really, really enjoyed it. I forgot how playoff hockey is actually so different than anything else that you can watch. It just was different from the preseason to the regular season to playoff hockey. It's just different.
Hockey and baseball are two totally different games when the postseason starts.
Yes. And, Bob, I'm proud of you, bud. You came back angry at the Sixers. I didn't think you had it in you.
I often have that in me.
You came back like no kid was getting orange slices or apple juice after the game. You was hot, boy.
Sometimes you got to be, Prince.
There you go.
I appreciate that. And Jamie?
What's up?
Jamie there?
Yo, he's here.
Okay, Jamie. Good luck on everything, man. Happy for you. And make sure she does not find your stash in that suitcase in the back closet. You know the one.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Real Prince, thanks as always for your advice, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
buddy.
Yes, there's few things in life people can universally agree upon. Moving sucking is absolutely one of them.
Yeah, if you're ever in a room with your mortal enemy, just bring up that and you'll be like, oh, God, yeah, the worst, right? Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, moving
three
sucks.
Toughest things as an adult, I always have said. Having kids, getting married, and moving.
I did all those within 365 days.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Hopefully this is our last ever move.
Yeah, you're dude, I can't believe you're leaving. I never thought you would leave the city before me.
Oh, he's yeah. Come on, he's a suburban boy in and out.
We're going
to
miss it.
I told you I did a very city thing the other day. I took my trash to the dump.
Yeah, I refuse to do that. It's like because we have a fairly new car and I don't want it stanking up.
I was selective in my what trash bag okay. I threw in the car. Yeah. Yeah, that's how that works.
when the trash was sitting on the curb for 3 weeks in a heat wave, I'm not really throwing that in the car, you know?
All right, when we come back, we got Tom McGinnis, the great Tom McGinnis, celebrating 25 years of play-by-play on the radio for the 76ers. Also, we'll talk to our friend Mike and Del Ram. We got all the takes coming up, jam-packed segment coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, Bob Cooney here in UFC 252. Well, it's coming up on August 15th, and there's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel Sportsbook has a special UFC 252 offer for new users. Sign up with my code Bob and you'll get exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic to win the title fight at UFC 252. So you can bet either fighter to win, then bet just $5 for a chance to win $125. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for, and then you lock it in. And once you win, FanDuel Sportsbook gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Type in FanDuel.com/Bob to claim your exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic at UFC 252. That's FanDuel.com/Bob. 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Maximum bonus $125. Minimum $10 deposit required. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in this segment, we will have all the takes for you. We'll talk to our friend Mike and Del Ran. But first, let's talk some 76ers basketball with a man who has not only been doing a job, but doing a job extremely well, great even, for 25 years. His name is Tom McGinnis. He's on the line with us right now. Congratulations, Tom. How you doing, man?
Thank you, Mark. Doing well. Good morning. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
25 years broadcasting 76ers games. Let me ask you this, because I've never asked you this before, and I'm always curious. You're so great at this job. What was your first play-by-play gig?
So I started in television. I did a little play-by-play in college after having played college basketball, but my degree was in broadcast journalism, so it was the TV sportscaster guy. Started on the weekends and then got the main gig. But, you know, I always wanted to be in the NBA. So my first actual job was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in the CBA. This was 1988-89. And I got paid the robust fee of $75 a game. and I loved it. When I was on the bus the first time, our first game was in Rockford, and we were, you know, driving there, and for whatever reason, I was in the front seat, which is typically the coach's seat, so maybe I was out of place, but I was going over, like, the sheets, like the score sheets, like, with, you know, the player stats and whatnot, and I loved it. I knew I made the right decision, and I just, ever since, I was building toward this all that time many years ago.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we've talked about this before, you were going to be a lawyer, was it?
No, I mean, my father was a lawyer, and I grew up around a lot of that with my neighbors and whatnot, and a lot of fascination with it. But no, this was kind of, I guess if you really were going to go back, I wanted to be, shocker, an NBA player.
Okay.
What prevented you from doing that, Tom?
I ran into this guy from Camden Catholic. This cool guy was humming. I was around the game at the Chicago Stadium as a young guy growing up, and just fell in love with it, you know. And again, those weren't the Michael Jordan Bulls. That was Jerry Sloan and Norm Van Leer, and the lights might not have been as bright, but I just loved the atmosphere and loved the game and just fell in love with it.
I mean, I would guess 25 years. I mean, it doesn't get better than that Iverson era.
No, and like I've always said, you know, like that was a team built around Allen. And, you know, there was a rise to it. By that, I mean, you know, like got into the playoffs, beat Orlando, 99, the center was just rocking. The Sixers had not been in the playoffs for 9 years, and that was kind of an upset. That was Penny Hardaway and the Magic, and then they get into Reggie Miller and get beat. And the next year, again, they win another series and lose to Indiana, and then eventually break through it and then have that great run in 2001. So that was good. And, you know, I just spoke with Jay Wright the other day, and it was just a complete thrill for me. I have this podcast, and it's going to, do you say it's going to drop this weekend? Whatever. It's going to air on our podcast network. But, you know, he was talking about the NCAA tournament and, you know, how obviously when in 16 and 18 when Villanova was making their run. But for the coaches and the players, you know, they're really just back on campus and then on to the next site. And that was the case with the Sixers in those playoffs where, you know, we were going to Toronto and Milwaukee and eventually Los Angeles. And Philadelphia was going crazy with the flags and all that, but you're in a tunnel and you don't realize, you know, you're kind of just going from the airport to the gym and you know, home to practice, whatever. And you're certainly, you're enjoying it, but you're not basking in it because you're in it. And when you say what doesn't get better than the Iverson era, that one was going on. That team caught this, this region's imagination because they played so hard and they were a fun team to watch. So you probably are exactly right, Mark.
Tom, that proverbial tunnel that you talk about, you're not able to be in it now. And I know it's got to be different for you, a lot different for you to call a game. Because when I listen to you call a game, it's not just the X's and O's. It's what you're seeing on the side, in the stands, wherever it may be. How tough has it been for you to have to do these games without being there?
Well, you're right on many fronts, Bob. But in the stimuli is what I like. As you say, there's so much going on. It's just a potpourri of activity and things to talk about. So again, I didn't know how it was going to go. Like we've all watched a million games on TV and I'm just now a guy watching a game on TV talking about it. But like when I'm preparing, and again, we're at the balcony level of the center where the Flyers broadcast. In fact, they were right next to us yesterday. And then, you know, so you're watching the players shoot around and then when you put the headset on and you can hear it, that kind of brings you inside the arena. And the league has done a fantastic job with on many different fronts, but with the effects and how they're delivering the games to the different regional sports networks and to radio stations like ours. So it hasn't been, you know, like I really didn't know how it would go until I actually started the game, calling the games. And I knew I would match the moment of a big sequence in the game, but it's been actually, you know, it's been really good. And I know not just for myself, but listening to the games and watching around the country, the different teams doing the games, everybody's doing a really, really good job. But you miss the competition. And I miss seeing right there how a guy's going to react and being with the crowd. And, you know, sometimes I use the phrase rising as one because that's what the team, the crowd in the center, they're all standing up together to meet the crescendo of this climax in this great moment. And obviously you miss that. And Lord willing, we'll get back to that in the months and years to come.
Speaking with the great Tom McGinnis, celebrating 25 years doing play-by-play for the 10-9-8-76ers. You talk about excitement of that Iverson era. Well, the history of the Sixers is a lot of excitement surrounding them and the Boston Celtics, who they're going to face in the first round. Again, you're not in the bubble, but I know you still feel that excitement when it's something as historic as a Sixers-Celtics rivalry.
Well, without question. You know what I mean? That says a lot right there. And of course, we played them 2 years ago, and then we go back in the recent times to 2012, where we ended up playing a seven-game series with them toward the end of that run of the Big Three and whatnot. But then it goes back, and the lore and the history of Russell and Chamberlain and Billy Cunningham and Havlicek and all of those great names that were in it. And Brett Brown, as a young guy growing up in Portland, Maine, was able to watch that too. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a great challenge, and we talk about, you know, a Philly mentality and trying to knock them off and having that underdog mentality. That's where our ball club is going to take into this. And this is where, speaking of the bubble and home court advantage, this is what, you know, these games 3 and 4 would come back to Philadelphia, where our team was 29-2 and had the crowd and the incredible atmosphere that helped to buoy them to that record. And that's something you miss. And again, It's a fair playing field for everybody. That's not going to be the case. And they're going to be a tough out. I mean, they are really, really playing well. And I think Tatum, as I said earlier during the course of one of our broadcasts, like before the hiatus, Jason Tatum was playing as well as anybody.
And then Brown didn't make the All-Star team, and that's kind of fueled his fire. And Hayward, I think, is finally back to the level that we saw, you know, maybe 4 years or so ago with Utah. And, oh, by the way, then there's Kemba Walker. But I know the Sixers love the matchup with Embiid, and you got to hope that Joel is able to get raring to go early in the week, you know, when these things start with the hand from yesterday and the ankle and whatnot, because Tice and Kander weren't able to handle it. And the Sixers took 3 out of 4 with Boston in the regular season, and that feels like eons ago. But it's going to be an intriguing matchup, you know, and you got to get on the board early to get the confidence going. But this is what, you know, the team has been built for, and obviously a huge asterisk in that front without Ben Simmons. But the size and the athleticism has given Boston problems, but you've got to be able to contain those four guys on the perimeter the way they slash, and Brown and Tatum. Oh, and the heart and soul of the Celtics, Marcus Smart, and Walker and Hayward, as I mentioned earlier.
Tom, I think we're all in agreement here that the two key pieces for the Sixers, obviously, is Embiid, and then Tobias Harris also. If you had to kind of go, because I think you get this in series a lot, we've seen it, that you kind of get a wild card guy that plays well and really helps a team out. Who do you think that might have to be for the Sixers in this series?
Well, and it kind of is a bunch of different guys, and I thought we saw signs of it last night, and that is like where Korkmaz hit some three. He needs shape to get going. Josh Richardson, because Richardson's going to be a pivotal two-way player in that he's going to have to guard some of these guys I mentioned on the perimeter and keep them in front so that they don't break down your defense. That's what Boston does so well. They spread you out, dribble drive, kick out three. And then, you know, whether it's Mike Scott, Alec Burks showed in the bubble that he can really be a consistent scorer. So certainly, you know, you look for Tobias to get his 20, for Joel to dominate and get to the line. Horford, you know, he has great basketball IQ, if you will, in terms of certainly in his game and how he's been a great postseason player over the years, but also with the corporate knowledge of playing against Boston, his old team. So he's going to be in there. So you'd hope it'd be, I know that's not a guy, but certainly a lot of guys, because I think to stay with the Celtics, you know, you're going to have to hit double-digit threes, like 12, 13 threes a game to have a chance to get over the top against those guys.
Tom, really appreciate you coming on. I'm sure we'll talk to you when the playoffs do actually get underway. But once again, congratulations on 25 years. You can do Tom Aginnis, make all the calls right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom, thanks so much, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
Absolutely. The great Tom Aginnis. Before we get all the takes in here, Mike and Del Rand's been holding. Let's talk to him. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, you didn't ask Tom Aginnis about his biggest highlight, and that was probably the time where he coached a basketball game for Gavin League, and I was the ref. That was probably.
Oh, you've mentioned this to us before.
Yeah.
That's right. Did you tee him up?
No. He told me that I had to put some air in the whistle. Put some air in that whistle, son.
I never minded. As a guy that reffed 10 years, I never minded that one. I always thought that was a polite way to say, like, hey, you can call some here.
There was probably a lot of times I could have used that instead of the words I chose, especially in attacking.
There you go.
Something about saying goddamn and stuff like that. They don't like that. Anyways, I heard you talking to Mike and KOP about the Sixers and your comment about how rational thinkers would rather see this with a new coach. Are you trying to say that I'm an irrational thinker, Mark?
There are times where you might be a little irrational, Michael. That's right. I forgot you said that yesterday.
Yeah, was that like a little dig?
No. That was not a dig. That was not. I did that without Mike in Delran in my mind. I did not do that as a personal attack to you, my friend.
Okay, because you wouldn't have been wrong. Not a big deal.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the Flyers stuff. I'm going to be more honest. The Sixers stuff. It was the Flyers last night. You know, I've admitted it a thousand times. I watched little hockey. I watched the whole game last night. There was a play, I think, in the second period, probably like 13 minutes left or so, where we kind of turned it over on our own zone. And one of the Canadians got the ball and shot, or got the fucking shot it extremely fast, where I didn't even react fast enough to see it happen. The reactiveness to that kid, Carter Hart, blew my mind away. Like, I had to keep reminding myself as I watched that game last night, like, this guy is, 22 today, apparently. But how young he is. Like, you know, I watched Flyers back, like, with the Lindros and like, those days. And, you know, so I know the sport. And I'm watching this kid, and he's just phenomenal. Like, you know, regardless of what happens this playoff season with this Flyers team, as long as that kid's in net, this team's going to be solid for a long time.
It's impossible to rattle him. I can't remember a call where I've really, or a time where I've really seen him get rattled. Everything happens in a bubble, like in his mind. He is so good at compartmentalizing. Everything happens at his own pace. I can't remember too many athletes I've seen with that ability.
The fact that he got out of that second period just letting up the one goal was a sign. They were attacking the hell out of that kid. But it was an awesome game, and I'm excited to watch the rest of the playoffs.
Yes! Goberts, thank you very much there, Mike. Very rational thinking.
Yes, Mike's very rational.
Mike and Del Rey. You know who else is a rational thinker?
Who's that?
Pat Egan is a rational thinker.
Egan segment.
I didn't see you there.
Hit the button.
You disappeared.
You got to look down.
All right, let's have all the tape.
Jamie, hit the button.
With Pat Egan.
Wow. Here we go.
Not even a please?
Not even Jamie Day anymore. He's mean to
not Jamie Day.
Look at this. The guy breaks one attitude. One score,
and we're
going
to start off with that. Let's start off with the Flyers with a big 2-1 win. That's 2-1. Mm-hmm. Let's travel back in time about 23 hours ago. We'll start off with the really, really bad, and then we'll go into the good.
Bob, what do you see tonight?
I see a hat trick from TK. 5-1 Flyers win.
5-1.
5-1.
You and your confidence. God bless you.
Carey Price doesn't make it through the whole game.
That was a good call.
Pat Egan, what do you have for the Flyers tonight?
2-1 win.
2-1 win.
Okay, we'll move on.
All right, now hold on a minute.
Wow.
All right, first off.
Hey, here's a toot.
You completely throw Bob under the bus, and you missed an opportunity to praise me because I said they'd score within the first 10 minutes of the game, and they did.
Jeez.
Where's my love?
Come on, Pat.
My love in your segment?
You said 3-1.
It was close, but it wasn't two to one. Did I accurately predict they'd score the first 10 minutes after Carey Price had 94 straight minutes without allowing a goal?
Was it or was it not the correct score?
Why you gotta be so? I'm more specific than you are. You just got to score.
You know why?
You guys are gonna hurt your shoulders patting yourselves on the back because it's my segment.
Okay. And we're gonna move on to the Washington football team. They announced they will not have fans in the stands for the upcoming season. Jerry Jones, he did the exact opposite, stating that he has plans to have fans in the stands this fall. Cowboys also signed Everson Griffith.
That happens. Now, let me just real quick. The Washington football team announced no fans at the stadium, and the fans announced, yeah, we're fine with that. Yeah, we don't want to be there anyway.
They looked for fan reaction. They couldn't find any.
The pod idea I do find interesting. Can you have a pod of fans, Bob? I think you can have a pod of fans. I'm holding out all hope in the world that you can have fans at games in some areas if you can do it somehow safe, socially distant,
whatever it might be. Yeah.
If you do the pod of fans, let's party. I'm in. Oh, and Jerry Jones is still a big fat idiot. So there you go.
Yes. No, he is. All right, we'll move on.
What else you got?
So, Jamie, let's pot it down. Let's pot it up. Let's go. Earlier this week, we talked about a League of Their Own reboot that was ordered by Amazon to be a series. Well, add Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to the list of reboots that no one needed or asked for. Will Smith is on board to produce. They don't have a channel where they're going to do it. They're just kind of shopping it all out.
Hey, I got a channel for you. Cozy TV.
That's exactly where the Phillies deserve to be right now. Let's be real. It's funny because no one's heard of it, but that's where that product deserves to be.
I don't need a Fresh Prince reboot. It's not going to star Will Smith.
He's a producer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Because I'd prefer one episode with Will Smith in it as the Fresh Prince, where his dad comes back and we don't have to be so sad whenever we see that highlight again.
Well, the new series is going to focus around a radio producer who got in one little fight and his wife got scared, so they moved from South Philly to the suburbs. And he bitches constantly about not getting offers on his house.
Does he have a day named there?
Someone buy Jamie's house, please.
Okay.
We'll move on.
Yes.
I know everyone hates the Astros, but one of the best characters in baseball is Zach Greinke. And he wanted to even the playing field yesterday when he faced Gabe Kapler in the Astros. So take a listen to what Zach Greinke did.
Oh, my. Everybody knows what sign they're going with now. This is incredible. He told everybody what signs are going with.
It's very tough to hear, but he literally is yelling at not only the catcher, but the batter. We're going to go second sign after one, second sign after two, because he just doesn't care. And they couldn't even capitalize on it. They lost 5-1.
That's awesome. That is great. Somebody shared that in our Slack, I think. And yeah, that's a great. Good for Zach Greinke.
That is great trolling.
Yeah, it really is. I applaud that. What else you got, Pat?
Yesterday, both Harold Reynolds and Dan Plesac were discussing the worst game they've ever had. And Plesac talked about a game where he gave up seven runs in an inning and a third, and then had to do an autograph signing the next day in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And here we are introduced to the savage from Kenosha, Barb.
Nothing worse than you just give up seven runs, and now you're going to an autograph session at a mall. Right, and the line was long, and I'm feeling like this big, you know, and some people were saying, hey, what happened last night? Oh, nothing. What's your name? Bill. Hi, Bill. You know, I wanted to write something nasty. Hi, Bill. What's your name? Okay, best wishes. And so right at the end, there was an elderly woman named Barb that came up, and she was like, you're my favorite player. And I said, so what is your name? Barb. So I said, hey, Barb. She goes, oh, Dan, I didn't know you wore glasses. Maybe you should have wore those last night so you could see where you wanted to throw the ball. And I was like, Barb! Barb! Barb!
Damn,
the
Barb.
The savage from Kenosha.
Barb, the original Karen. There you go. Poor Dan Plesac. I feel bad for him. You have a lot of action going on in that room right now there, Pat.
Yeah.
You got cuts to play. You're trying to boss Jamie around.
Well, no. I mean, I really appreciate Bob, who really brought it this segment and added virtually nothing so far.
Dude, I was busy listening to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air while you were talking, so I really don't care what you said.
I mean, I need your opinion.
Bob, what's your take on Barb?
Mark did well, I thought.
Bob, what's your take on Barb?
Pat, you're in a hurry. I let you get all these things in. Had I talked, you wouldn't have got everything in. Right? It's your segment.
No, the host.
It's your segment. You had limited time. You had a lot of items that you wanted to get to.
That's a good point.
My part in all this was to listen, take it in, maybe give a word or two, but I wanted you to get all of your segments in.
And I'm a big enough man to admit you're right.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, go ahead.
And we'll finish off with our segment of today in history. In 1964, former Mariner Jay Buhner was born, which is an excuse to just play this classic cut.
I can't believe he was so young. How could this have happened?
Well, he'd been logging some pretty heavy hours. First one in the morning, last one to leave at night. That kid was a human dynamo.
Are you sure you're talking about George?
You are Mr. and Mrs. Costanza.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Hey, Pat, that was really good. That was a really good bit. Way to go, Pat.
Wait, that's all you got? That's it and all the takes? You didn't do the big story?
What's the big story?
You didn't do the big story?
I know.
You didn't do the big story?
I guess it just didn't get done.
Stephen A. Smith championing the cause of conjugal visits in the bubble?
I didn't see it.
That ass.
I didn't see it.
Stephen A.
You
Smith
need to do better.
Was the first one. Now, great job, Pat, except for bossing Jamie around, you jerk. But here's the deal. I'm bullying, trying to bully Bob.
So where's the great job part come in, Mark?
Nah, just being nice. Okay. But Stephen A. Smith, 3 weeks ago, talked about how the ladies are going to break the bubble. And then now, yesterday, it's like you got to have conjugal visits. And if all of a sudden, you're going to be allowed in people to bring the ladies into the bubble. On sustained relationships.
What?
And Bob, as you so accurately pointed out as the journalist in the room, how do you prove that?
Yeah.
How do you prove that?
We had a long talk about it, the three of us. Mark, you had taken off to somewhere else.
Deuces.
But me, Jamie, and Pat had a long talk about the bubble yesterday, and it wasn't pleasant.
It's not so, suitable for air.
That. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Let's just say those poor hotel workers.
Goo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we were talking about, goo.
So there's that. But anyway, Stephen A. Smith is like, somebody had to say it! Somebody had to say it! And you know, he did. He said it. And he said it out loud into a microphone.
And they heard it.
And a lot of people heard it.
That's when he gets paid the big bucks
so
for.
What's your take? Should they have conjugal visits? You know what's going to happen?
Not?
The one girl that they weren't that serious about is going to get that phone call. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
They also get one ticket for
You know, I love you,
kid.
Baby. Yeah.
But what happens if you have more than one kid?
That's a good point. Well, you have to do what most people have to do. It's just choose your favorite. I think that's how that works. Great job, Pat. 610-632-0975. We come back. We'll let you hear some highlights from the Flyers game last night. Also, get into some good news about Doug Peterson addressing the media yesterday as he's back from COVID. Time to the Fanatic is 8:23. And ladies and gentlemen, as everybody is, I am excited about having sports back. And you gotta bet with the hometown team, right? That's what I do. I bet with the hometown team of Parks Casino and Sportsbook. That's where I have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. You bet with my guys at Parks Casino and Sportsbook right in Bucks County, just up I-95 from Philadelphia. That means your action and your money are safe and secure on easy, and very easy, by the way, to bet with their sports betting app and the only sports book backed by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. Look, you don't have to leave your money and sports bets to a faceless overseas company or one that's so big they forget about their customer. Go with my guys at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. That's right, Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the hometown team. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, that's right, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA. And use my promo code FANATIC to get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Their website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. Must be 21 and present in PA. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.